you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 through 34. This is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 25th, 2022. And as I was just flipping through the Bible, Pastor Jason, I was, reading different excerpts. Sometimes I spend a lot of time in the New Testament, the Old Testament, or flip around, sometimes the Psalms or the Proverbs. But I thought, I'm going to explore a little of Jeremiah. And so recently, as I was reading through and I came across this passage and section, I thought, oh, I love this. I think there's a lot of things we can draw out of it, but the fact that God wanted us to know his will, his ways. He says very straightforwardly, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And that makes you think about aspects of Psalms and King David and, not giving you any time to research or think about this. But I just thought this is a wonderful passage to land on today as we're in the midst of so much uncertainty, world uncertainty now with things happening in Ukraine and Russia declaring war. And we were talking yesterday about Chernobyl and how we both watched a documentary on it. But suddenly the reality that if a place like that got bombed and that released, all the nuclear what's going on? There's the fusions and stuff going on. It's toxic, and suddenly that could affect crops and rain and millions of people. And so thank you, God, that we can read his word, that we can take it into our heart and mind and understand it, and how he's equipped us, those of us that follow Jesus, to have the helper, the Holy Spirit, enlighten our minds, helping us interpret and understand, and most importantly, to know God better through his word. But I think that's probably something most of us need to turn to today, this week, is God's word, because it will reveal God's plan and purposes, and it helps us know him. And then it also, as we look in Revelation, these times have been predicted. I mean, there will be wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and heartache and many people dying. Not that that's comforting, but I mean, we shouldn't be surprised that there is chaos going on in the world. And hopefully that'll help us draw near to God and really seek him out and pray. We do pray for those in Ukraine, many people that are very innocent that are being caught up in this, into this war.
Yeah, it's an interesting passage, and Jeremiah is not for the faint of heart. I mean, when you read the book of Jeremiah and you see what Jeremiah prophesies through, the fall of the nation of Israel and Israel being taken into captivity and being delivered to Babylon. I mean, the book of Jeremiah ends on a very sour note. It isn't, like most of the films that we like to watch where it ends on a real high point and we're celebratory and we leave the theater feeling like, yes, we won. If you're a Jew, you end the book of Jeremiah and you think, oh my goodness, it's not going well. And if the book of Jeremiah is all we have, you think it's not going well. And yet in this passage that you read, it's so fascinating because it says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. And so I love this. First of all, we have to start with Jeremiah. Because in the midst of all of this stuff that's happening in the nation at this point, Jeremiah is a faithful voice for God. And sometimes when the world is falling apart around us, the most difficult thing for us to do is to remain a faithful voice. We become a mouthpiece for whatever's being streamed on the news or whatever the next fear is or what the next frustration is. I mean, you just go have coffee with a dear friend and sit down, and I guarantee you, you're going to segue into COVID or politics or, you know, whatever pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that in the conversations we've had lately, Mark, we tend to do that even we do, because, you know, when things are struggling around us, when things are hard around us, they tend to find a voice through us. You know, we tend to become the voice pieces or the mouthpieces of the experiences that are happening around us. And yet Jeremiah isn't doing that. What I love about Jeremiah is he's God's faithful messenger. Things are falling apart around him. Things are not going well around him. And what does he want to do? He wants to continue to talk about God.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to continue to talk about the things that God is talking to him about. In fact, in the verses that precede this, you know, the world is falling apart around Jeremiah. And the verses that precede verses 31 through 34 says that Jeremiah had a sweet sleep, that he awoke from a sweet sleep. You know, and it was in that sleep that God spoke to him and gave him a revelation and gave him some prophecy that he is going to share. But he had this sweet sleep. And I don't know about you, but when I, you know, if I watch the news before I go to bed, I don't have a sweet sleep.
Sure.
You know, if I think about the things, and that's because I think about how they not only affect me, but the people around us, but they affect, you know, my children and my children's children and people who live across the ocean in another country. And so there's so much that can get us really discombobulated that sweet sleep does not seem like something that we are going to have. But Jeremiah does. And why? Because Jeremiah continues to focus his life and himself on who God is.
Hmm.
And for the people of God, that's what we've got to do. You know, the Bible says that, you know, whether the nations rise or the, you know, the storms come, you know, yet we will still serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still follow him. You know, and the Lord is very clear in his word that things are going to get difficult, that they are going to get hard. In fact, I love in the Gospels, Jesus says, don't be surprised.
Right.
You know, and if we are surprised, it might be either because we're not believing what the word says or we haven't read what the word says. And I think that's why Jesus continually, when he comes up against, and this is the danger of religion, when Jesus bumps up against the religious folks, what does he continually say to them? It's one of my favorite moments. He goes, have you not read? It's Jesus' way of saying, listen, I know it looks like you love God. I know it looks like you think highly of who God is and you follow him and you esteem him. But have you actually read about him? Do you actually understand who he is? And one of the things I think that can be a danger for us is when things around us get more difficult and things around us get harder, we tend to read less. We tend to meditate upon less because there's more noise in our life. There's more going on. And so I want to start with Jeremiah because Jeremiah is in this kind of particular position where he's seeing things happening around him. And this could cause him to take his eyes off of God, take his gaze off of God. This could cause him to begin to parrot kind of the things that he's hearing around him rather than the things that he's hearing from God. Mm-hmm. And yet Jeremiah is a faithful messenger. And he comes and he says, the days are coming. Behold. I always say behold means aha. And aha is kind of tongue in cheek because of course God is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Of course God is speaking to Jeremiah. Of course God is speaking to us. You know, we have his word, which is living and active. And so as we read it in the midst of difficult and turbulent times, God is speaking to us about who we are to be in this moment and what is going to come down the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as a Christian, I always say to Christians, we should never be surprised. Like when people come and they're like, I can't believe what's happening. You go, what? I knew that was going to happen. I just didn't know when, but I knew it was going to happen because it's in the word. Oh, you mean wars and rumors of wars, Matthew 24. You mean pestilence, Matthew 24. Oh, you mean like religious people who are going to come proclaiming God's name, but they're really going to lead people astray, Matthew 24. You know, and that's just one place that I'm choosing to go to. But we have this breadth of understanding that when we know what God's word says, when we study God's word, when we meditate upon it, when we make it a part of our life, we're not really that surprised by a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
We're not surprised by how people act and react. We're not surprised about the events around us. You know what should be a surprise to us is how easily those things can overtake us and take our gaze off of God and take our lives out of being deeply rooted in Christ and all of a sudden, you know, battling with one foot in the world and one foot in following Jesus. But he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. And so what I love is that Jeremiah doesn't come and he goes, behold, this is what the king of Judah says. Behold, this is what the king of Babylon says. He says, behold, this is what the Lord says. Because when things are going poorly, what you need more than anything is you need what the Lord says.
Right.
And so he prophesies, and he doesn't prophesy about what's going to happen in this day, his day. He prophesies about what's going to come in the future. And he brings us good news that God is going to make a new covenant, that in the future God would make another covenant, a new covenant that would come with Israel. And it wouldn't be according to the one that God had made prior. Now, God had made a number of covenants with Israel throughout redemptive history. There was the Abrahamic covenant that he made with Abraham. There was a Mosaic covenant, or some call it the Sinai covenant because it was made in the Sinai desert at Mount Sinai. The Davidic covenant, which was made with David. And so God has always had a plan of redemption through these covenants. These covenants are promises that he made to specific people. He made a promise with Abraham. He made a promise to Moses in the Sinai with the people of God in Sinai. He made a promise with David in 2 Samuel 7. And all these covenants or these promises are all pointing towards what we would call the new covenant. And a new covenant which comes in Jesus. And the reason we call it the new covenant is because God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up. You don't perceive it. I promised you I was going to do it, but you didn't wrap your head around it. You didn't understand it. I've sent you these prophets to tell you this thing is coming, and still you're a little, confused. And so God promises that there's going to be a new covenant that's going to come. And this new covenant, which points to the future, is the new covenant that will come through Jesus. In fact, we actually see this new covenant announced in the book of Ezekiel, too, in chapters 11, chapter 37. And so we see this, that Israel will be gathered back together, that they will be cleansed spiritually, and they will be transformed, and that there will be this reign of the Messiah that we also see in Isaiah that will never end. And so this is what God is pointing to through Jeremiah. And then what I love is that God doesn't hold back. Listen, God doesn't come like, and he doesn't say, it's just Skittles and unicorns. I just can't wait to be with you. He comes and he says, listen, I have to make a new covenant because you broke the other one. Like, I kept my end of the promise, but you didn't. I mean, he says, on the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. So he points back to this moment where he came and he saved the people of Israel. He came and he redeemed them. And he says, but this is the covenant that I will make with my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. So he says, though I was in this deep and abiding relationship with you, but you broke the promise that we made. You broke that promise. And I love the honesty of the Lord here. He says, listen, I upheld my side, but you didn't uphold yours. But listen, I am so good, I am coming to you to make another one. It's so funny. When I just read that and I just think about that, and it's kind of not even really germane to the text, but Mark, if somebody breaks a promise to you, are you more than willing to make another with them?
No, kind of perturbed.
not really. I mean, you'd be like, no, man. I mean, like, I upheld my side of it. You didn't do yours. Like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
And so there's something happening here in divinity that exceeds what I can understand in my humanity, which is, that God has a willingness to draw near to his people in such a way that even when they stray or they break this promise, God is willing to come and to make another. And he says, I will, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law into their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is actually just repeating what the earlier covenants did say. The earlier covenants had almost this exact same kind of wording. That I'm going to put my law, my ways on their mind. When you hear law, don't think legality. When you hear law, think God's ways. That I'm going to put that in their minds, and then I'm going to write it on their hearts. So there'll be a unified voice between your heart and your mind. Isn't it interesting? Because in Colossians 3, Paul says, set your mind on things that are above, set your heart on things that are above.
Mm-hmm.
That when you focus on who God is and what God is, there should be a unified, deep and abiding connection between your mind and your heart. And I don't know about you, but for me, there's not always a deep and abiding connection between my mind and my heart.
Yeah.
My heart wants to wander one way and my mind wants to rationalize and go another way. Or my mind wants to argue with my heart. And here God is going to put his law upon their minds and write it upon their hearts. And what is he going to write on there? That I will be their God and they are my people. What God is saying is, listen, my promise to you is that I am your God and you are my people. And there is nothing that is going to come between that. Now, what I love about the Old Testament is when I read the Old Testament, I hear the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I hear the words, I will be their God and they will be my people, I hear Romans 8 in the back of my head, which says no height, no width, no depth, no anything in all of creation will separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That there is nothing, because when God says, I'm going to be their God and they're going to be my people, no matter what mess happens between the moment when that proclamation is made and the moment that Christ comes, there is nothing that's going to separate him from keeping that promise.
Yeah.
So much so that God will give his only begotten son to ensure that it happens. And I love that. And so he says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more. He says, listen, I'm going to give you something that's going to far exceed what even a human teacher can give you. I'm going to give you a revelation of who I am in such a way that neighbor teaching neighbor is going to pale the vision I'm going to give you in Christ and the Spirit who leads us to and reveals who Christ is. You know, all those who are led by the Spirit are reminded what? That they are the sons of God. There's no teaching I could ever do that would be powerful enough to remind you of that the way the Holy Spirit reminds you of that. And so, again, I think one of the things that we really need to remember about this text in Jeremiah is the context in which it happens. The things are not going well. The things are going badly. They're going poorly. That it feels like in Jeremiah's day, the world is falling apart. It feels like today a little bit.
Yeah.
And yet the sustaining promise is not, tomorrow will be better. The sustaining promise is not the price of gas is going down. The sustaining promise is not the political stability is coming. The sustaining promise is not, you don't have to wear that mask anymore. The sustaining promise is, I will be their God and they will be my people. That's the sustaining promise. And though the world may fall apart, though the nations may shake, though the wars may come and go, we're still the people of God, called by God, that he has written his law upon our minds and our hearts, that we belong to him, and that no matter how the world shakes, we are not shaken. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we're not concerned. That doesn't mean that we're not frustrated at times. That doesn't mean that our humanity doesn't creep in, but it does mean that we are always reminded that his divinity exceeds our humanity. And that his promises exceed what I know about today, and how he defines good is different than I understand good to be.
Yeah.
And all of that because he is God. And so maybe, you know, just maybe in our final last few moments, what we need to take away from this, Mark, is that those of us who are gathered together right now to hear this, those of you who are listening, is we need you to be a little bit of Jeremiah right now. Listening to and meditating upon the word of the Lord, and then living that out in the midst of what seems like perilous times.
Yeah, you know, I wrote down a couple things, as always is my habit, as you talk and I think and pray through the program. But I like this verse, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. And you and many pastors have said, at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. And I'm thinking, here's God's making that distinction. You know, we might say, oh, those people are great, or this person is great, but we're all equal at the foot of the cross. We all need Jesus. But God's saying, you will all know me from the least to the greatest. And I think that fills us all with hope. Some of us that maybe feel we're not so significant or whatever. No, in God's eyes, we're all equal. We're all great. But then I wrote down, be like Jeremiah, you know, that sweet sleep. We can have that when we put our trust and are convinced God is for us, that God is good, God is in control. And then I thought also, like you said, being like Jeremiah, we need to be those ambassadors, those agents of bringing calm or comfort or peace or love into the circumstances, whether it's at the lunchroom where we work or in our home. You and I have talked about this, that we can also get caught up in the news and the latest story or the fad or whatever's going on and be consumed by it. and it ends up diluting our focus on God being sovereign, God being good. We can get caught up and spend 20 minutes talking about something instead of, you know, praying it over, or, hey, Jason, tell me a special verse God's used in your life today, and, you know, have the topic be more God-honoring instead of caught up in all the world. And so I'm thinking about where Jeremiah was living in those times when there was uncertainty, there was heartache, there were people questioning God, and yet he was rock solid in his faith, knowing that God is good. Yeah, some circumstances are beyond our control, but God is for us, and he is making that covenant with all of our listeners today. He's demonstrated his love by sending Jesus to make a way for us, that redemptive plan that we can all receive.
Yeah. Peter says in his great sermon after he receives the Holy Spirit, the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
Wow, a lot to think about, a lot to pray about, but we can be agents, ambassadors of God, disciples of Jesus, bringing hope and calm and peace and love into the crisis that are going on. Crisis is in your family. I mean, then it boils down to just maybe you're struggling with a job or an opportunity, or not knowing how you're going to put food on the table or provide for your kids or your neighbors, or just being an agent of change because of competing interests in your life. Well, get grounded in God's word, be involved in a church that preaches God's word, you know, gather with other believers and pray and seek God's face. And we do trust because of his nature. He is a good God, that we're not surprised by things that are going on, but we do have hope because we have an eternity to look forward to. Some unique words from Jeremiah. It's in the Bible. We do recommend you reading it from cover to cover, the beginning to the end. God has a lot to say to us. He does love to reveal his plan and purposes for our lives through his word, through the teaching and preaching of pastors. So we encourage you to be involved in your church, and we just trust as you go about your day today or close out the day that you'll include God in your time of prayer and seeking his face and helping him create in you that desire to be his agent, his ambassador to this hurting world. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.